Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that in
an hour. Well, I've been paying attention to it pretty much all day and noticing it and texting and tweeting. Well, not tweeting. Yes, I guess I did tweet about it once. The smoke-filled, orangey skies above Western New York. And yet, I walked in here. I used to be able to walk in here at 1:30. Now it's got to be like 2:56, no earlier, because the room is occupied. And I fell for it. Like, why aren't the lights on? Why aren't the blinds open? But it turns out everything was on and open. It's just like dark outside, kind of. So we'll get past it. I'm excited about today. I wish I were more excited about England and Argentina, but alas, France took me out of that pool, and now it's just like depressing. I know that that's lame, right? I like the World Cup. I liked it before I could bet on it. I liked it before survivor pools and, oh, a man's down. What do you know? Just looked up and saw somebody rolling around. See, what was that? Was that just bitterness from losing on France yesterday? Oh, of all the teams to lose on, the favorite. But that's life. So, yeah, I mean, I thought I was in good shape in this pool and needed for that to work out, England to win. And I would have been, you know, super distracted like I was yesterday to a point. But Spain got up when I was talking to Sneaky Joe in the first segment and really... from then on, it was never that interesting. But anyway, that's how that goes. Winner today goes to the final on Sunday in New York. And I guess there's some thought that our skies today will be theirs this weekend. And that could be a problem. I mean, it seems like a ways off, 4 days off. But it's what I read. So maybe that's something to think about. I'll talk to Paul Hamilton today. The Sabres have announced their opening night. It's a Saturday this year, October 3rd against Chicago. Bowen Byram's Chicago Blackhawks. And before that, they'll open their season on the 1st against Columbus. We'll talk about some other Sabres stuff as well with Paul. I'll bring on a guest who you've not met yet, Ryan Paganetti, at 4 o'clock. I heard Ryan on a podcast with Scott Barrett of Fantasy Points talking about his career. He's been an analytics director or director type in a few organizations, and I just woke up one morning to this podcast where he and Scott were talking about how Ryan worked for the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles and the Philly Special and all this. Like, who is this guy? And so at the moment, he's not with a team or in the league office, but he's building a social media presence and seems really impressive. So, you know, if you may know, that's a big area with me, and I kind of want to know some origin story stuff and maybe where we're at, what place in time we're at here. What is that? Like almost a decade ago, Philadelphia, and they didn't invent a lot of that stuff. They were a team famous for trusting it and they were rewarded. So anyway, Ryan will join me in about an hour. And it's Pick 10 Day, the final, already, the final, fourth and final one of these for our season in golf, where we rotate, taking turns, picking 10 players, one of whom the deal is you need to win the upcoming major championship. This week it's the Open Championship, this week it's my turn, and Brian will be on, and I think also Bulldog will call in, and that'll be at 5:30 for the golf picks. I'm mostly done. I know Chris last time was like done. He had picked that Kepka, I'm 54, that Kepka like weeks in advance. That time, actually, that was the Open, and it was Kepka, I think, who had some injury. And we left it so that if he were hurt and didn't tee off in the morning, that Bulldog could replace him with someone else, and I just jokingly threw out the name Padraic Harrington. Well, Padraic Harrington won the Senior Open, the U.S. Senior Open, like a week or two ago. I think he won the year before also. It sounds like he's maybe killing it on the Senior Tour. He has won the Open Championship at this golf course, Birkdale, which is the second most frequent host of this tournament. And I'm a little bit keen to it, Harrington. Like, could he win? He probably won't, but it's a fun long shot idea, and I like my long shots. So some hockey, some golf, some football, and whatever else comes up through the day. Bet Online today sent out quarterback stats, prop bets. And here are the numbers on Josh Allen. And I'll leave the one that I think I would, I'm stubborn. The one I think that I would play first for last. So keep in mind with these, when they put out season-long prop bets, that it pretty much, you want to remember that not everybody's going to play 17 games. In fact, Allen, who hasn't missed a start in years, doesn't really even play 17 games because he plays one play the last 2 years in the last one. But, you know, injuries, and there's probably some threshold. I don't know. There's probably some threshold that players need to clear for the bets to be valid. But the numbers are going to be lower than if you add up single game projections or like other years, just because if Allen were to miss a month or something, that could decide the bet. So here are the numbers on him. Passing yards, 3,600 and a half. So that would be his lowest total in 7 years. Again, keep in mind that injury point. And it's not by much. Last year was 3,668. 2024 was 3,731. So it's within 100 to 150 yards, passing yards, from the last 2 years, this number. Are you thinking, I mean, you know, if you are a gambler and want to play some of these, of course you can. Are you thinking, just whether you are or not, that Allen is in position for a bigger passing year? That has been my vibe here for a while. And that comes from different conversations that I've had and that we've had with different analysts and ADP chasing on Tuesday nights, last night, different. I talked to Matt Collar today on his Purple Insider podcast. You know, the point Warren Sharp made on this show a couple of weeks ago. Look, the Bills might have to chase more because of their schedule and or because of maybe their defense isn't as good. Doesn't have to be down, but people are going to predict that. So if that's right, you would think you'd see more passing, and maybe then you get Allen back up into the 4,000-yard territory. I mean, even 4,000 yards, if you take out his first 2 years, first year he played part-time because he had that elbow injury in Houston. He started game two as a rookie, right? The big plan that Nathan Peterman won the job and then couldn't even make it to the third quarter of the opener. Okay, well, that was worth a lot. And then Allen, the next year, played them all. He's played them all ever since, pretty much, except for the occasional final game of the season meaninglessness. And so since 2020, 6 years ago, he has been about 4,300 yards or more the first four of those years, and then down pretty sharply the last two. Attempts down as well, naturally. And, you know, why is that? Diggs was gone. That changed things a lot. He didn't have an elite number one receiver anymore. Far from it. And then you had Cook pop, leading the league in touchdowns, leading the league in rushing, positive game scripts. You just didn't need Allen to be as prolific throwing the ball. So a sharp decline the last 2 years from the previous four in terms of his yardage volume as a passer. So 3,600, to me, given Warren's point, the schedule, the game script stuff, seems pretty modest. If I were to bet that, I would bet the over on Allen. Just really, that's entirely why. It's thinking that they might need him to do that. And if they do, shouldn't it work out? I mean, no matter what you think of the Bills receiving corps, if they need Allen to throw 40 passes a game now because they're losing, or whatever it is, then you would think that that wouldn't go so badly. I think interceptions would tick up, and that's another one. So he threw 10 last year, and this year's line is 10.5. So I think I would go over on his yards, over on his interceptions, and then maybe also over on his touchdowns. 24.5 touchdown passes would be, 24 would be his lowest again since 2019. Really, we're looking at, statistically, in the betting markets, we're looking at Josh Allen in a new way, where he's more, not quite game manager, won't go that far, but not the pinball machine numbers, some of them anyway, from, say, 5 years ago. So, modest lines on passing yards, passing touchdowns, 24.5, interceptions, 10.5. Last year, touchdowns, he had only 25, his lowest in 6 years. They're all, everything's his lowest in 6 years. And then you have rushing yards at 500.5. And so for some perspective on that, that's a little bit under the last 3 years. It's well under the 2 years before that. I mean, look at the monster seasons, 21, 22. But working backward, the last three seasons in terms of rushing yards for Josh Allen, 579, 531, 524. They're offering you 500.5. You can't know if he's going to miss time. If he doesn't, and it's consistent with how he's played, that would be another over. I would be reluctant to do it. I have always been, I mean, it's never been successful, shy about betting overs on his rushing, because I think we see a day where that is curtailed, and that can be from the other reasons, have to throw the ball more to stay in games. Probably don't want to sound too dramatic about that, but it could be different this year. And just sort of the natural progression for a quarterback who's rushed as often as Allen has. If he has a normal year in the rushing category, he'll maybe get to 1,000 carries for his career. And then you have the touchdowns, which I cannot quit as a stat. Talking to Sal about it on Monday, any chance I get to marvel at Josh Allen and rushing touchdowns, I'll take it. Because it's just incredible that he ranks as high as he does in NFL history already as a quarterback. I mean, if you had a running back, if it were whoever, James Cook, or, you know, James Cook who has been here for longer, or McCoy or somebody else, if the Bills had a running back who in the last 8 years had totaled 79 touchdowns, almost 10 per season, I mean, that's record stuff, and they have it in Allen. In addition to everything else he's accomplished. This year's line from Bet Online on his rushing touchdowns is 11.5. And I just can't. It's not on par with his career. I mean, this includes his first 2 years. He averages 10 per. And if you take out, well, if you just make it the last three, it's 41 rushing touchdowns the last 3 years, almost 14 per season. 14 last year, 12 the year before, 15 the year before that. I have never wanted to bet the over on this. There's the injury thing, although he's been impervious to that so far. And then just sort of like the, let's be normal, let's just be people here. 11.5, 12 more rushing touchdowns again. And this is always, haven't really gotten too far into it, and I'm not sure I will today. But it's always an interesting topic these summers with Allen and rushing, and whether or not this year will be the year where they rein him in this way. I think they've certainly talked about it. New coach now, but they've certainly talked about doing it. Brandon Bean has talked about it. I think all else equal, everybody in the organization that matters would like to see those numbers come down just for his own sake, right? I mean, durability and the rest, he's everything to their chances. But it hasn't really happened yet. I think they've wanted to see it, and I think what's happened is they get to a point in their season and they feel like, well, this is it now, and there's no sliding anymore. There's no throwing the ball away anymore. We need this first down. We need this touchdown. And I think probably that would be their attitude again this year. Maybe not, but Allen hasn't sounded. It's the interview with Tyler Dunn I'm thinking of. You know, he had that comment to Tyler about, basically, in so many words, I'll play until I can't play the way I want to. Well, we know what that looks like. The way he plays, that's how he wants to play. And that includes, absolutely sometimes reckless approach with the ball. I mean, he's going. And maybe it's as simple as when he feels like he can't go like he used to be able to do, maybe that's it. But there's no sign at all that we're there yet. I just can't get to any quarterback, well, probably, try me, rushing for more, if anybody's going to do it, it's probably him, right? 11 and a half touchdowns. So I'm kind of like over on all the passing stuff with Allen. I doubt I'll actually play any of this, but maybe. Over on all the Allen passing stuff, tougher schedule, a new coach that maybe it'll be correct that he wants to open Allen up. He's got DJ Moore. If it's right that Brady has been held back in some ways by McDermott, well, okay, here's his chance to prove that he was. And there are people who think that that was the case. Again, talking with Matt Collar today, this came up, and he asked me, you know, a question kind of about Brady and what might be different about it. And I referenced how I always say the one thing, like every coach says they're going to be more aggressive, and, you know, nobody ever doesn't say that. So I mentioned that. I've mentioned how, I mean, you had people, I think maybe Sal, I'm not sure, but some of the inside voices are talking like they think Brady is held back fair to McDermott, like just sort of couldn't do everything he wanted to do. The implication seems to be that this is just going to be bigger, whatever that means on offense. That's probably more passing, but it's just going to be bigger. And I don't know. I feel like that's the message that if I were Brady or if I were the Bills, I would want out. And there's no evidence really of anything yet. So really, it's just talk. And, you know, if you're asking Brady himself, even off the record, about this kind of thing, I think that's what he's probably going to want you to know. Is that, yeah, like I want to do things a little bit differently, whatever that is. But we have no sign of it yet, and we may not until game start. Like even in the preseason, what kind of evidence will there be? Yesterday we talked about Brady some, and I got a call from a fan who's like, how can you believe in this guy? And I thought that was way too harsh because I think there are ways to do it. I said yesterday, and at the time he was promoted, I think it's kind of weird that they fired Sean McDermott for the sake of change and then promoted their offensive coordinator. Like, I did not expect that to happen after the McDermott move. But what, you know, what he's got in front of him, plus side, obviously, Allen, and he's been here. Like, he's familiar with what he's got, and they're familiar with him. He's even familiar with DJ Moore from Carolina. So there doesn't need to be any sort of ramping up period, I think, for their offense. But look at who he's going up against on the schedule this year, the Bills. Like, we've talked about the schedule, of course, and the challenges. The beginning is kind of a gauntlet. There's another one later on in the season. But think of it, or look at it in terms of coaches. D'Amico Ryan's okay. I mean, they've won that division two of the last 3 years. They've been a playoff team. He probably deserves some credit. And, you know, C.J. Stroud hasn't really been good at all for the last couple of years. I don't want to put D'Amico Ryans on the list of some of these other guys, but, you know, I think he's respectable. I think that's fair. Then you get Dan Campbell in week two, our king. Everything, like fourth downs, of course, all that stuff. But Campbell has fans in every corner. You know, he's got the nerds, he's got the jocks, he's got sort of everybody. You know, it's a bounce back year opportunity for them. They were down last year, but he's won a lot of games and has earned a lot of respect. Then you go to Jim Harbaugh in week three, whose teams are always good, with Mike McDaniel, by the way, and every fantasy show I'm on, people are gaga for the Chargers because of the players they have, and now Mike McDaniel. Then you go to Mike Vrabel, No kidding. Like, Mike Vrabel, coach of the year, defending coach of the year. You know all about him. That's week four. Then you go to Sean McVay. How about that stretch? Are they all coach of the year winners? I don't know if Campbell won, but Harbaugh's been to a Super Bowl. Vrabel, McVay, McVay's won. Like, you've got a pretty good run there. Clint Kubiak with the Raiders. People like his mind, his vision of offense. He's not deserving of being in this club yet, of course, but, you know, people tend to be optimistic about him. Baltimore's coach is new, Minter. Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. Matt, by the way, I think called the Bills game in Minnesota the Vikings game of the year. Like, the best game on the Vikings schedule is the Bills game in week 9, Monday night in Minnesota. Aaron Glenn, Jeff Hafley. I mean, if the Bills are going to get there, you kind of think they might have to just sweep the Jets and Dolphins. The weakest games on their schedule would seem to have to be two Jets, two Dolphins, and then Raiders, and then I don't know after that. So you get your Jets, Dolphins back-to-back. They have that twice, the last two games of the year against those teams as well. Andy Reid, Thanksgiving. Vrabel again. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Something to be said for that guy. Been there a long time. Ben Johnson in Chicago. This is now, we're into Christmas time. Sean Payton again in Denver. And then the Dolphins and the Jets. So really it's, for me, more about the first 5 weeks and what Brady has in front of him. Just the teams and, you know, naturally it lines up. It's the coaches. DeMeco Ryans, Dan Campbell, Jim Harbaugh with Mike McDaniel, Mike Vrabel, Sean McVay. Brady's going to want to come out of the box pretty hot. And he's going to maybe have to, or the Bills are going to maybe have to hold their own against those teams. And I think if they don't, Brady is probably who we're talking about. Brady and Bean. It's not going to be Allen. Like, that's a tough start. Raiders away, break, and then the Ravens. Really interesting year. They all are. So, there are some of Josh Allen's stat lines for the year and some thoughts on the new head coach. Like I laid out before, Paul Hamilton coming up. We'll talk about the schedule announcements. The whole thing comes out tomorrow. It's been a long time since I've been this eager to see it, and I don't have tickets anymore. I'm just kind of in a, like a lot of you are going to be, sort of in a Sabres mood. So, we'll see what that looks like tonight or today. It was announced who they open with at home, Chicago, and then also that, because all the teams announce their home openers, they'll start the season as the road team for Columbus's season opener in Columbus, October 1st. So Paul coming up, Ryan Paganetti, Brian Koziol, maybe with Bulldog as well for the golf picks later on. Thanks for being with me. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.